Kate, we're on the record, Senate State Affairs, it's 9:05. We do have a quorum to conduct business consisting of Senator Bundy, Stevens, French, and myself, McGuire. And we have one item on the agenda today, the continuing discussion of the impacts of the 90-day session. In an unusual twist, what we will have today, first up, Reneva Moss, who is Chief of Staff to Rules Chairman John Coghill, just to explain what the House bill is going to look like, which is rolling out. And so I think there'll be questions about that, how it differs from the working draft we have. Then we have Jerry Burnett with the Department of Revenue, who I'm going to have speak next about the spring forecast and what the budget changes might look like in a 90-day session. Tam Cook is online and to answer any questions whatsoever. And then we have Pam Varney here again from Ledge Affairs, and Clark and Wynn Greening with the Alaska Committee as well. So, Reneva.
For the record, Reneva Moss, legislative aide for Representative Coghill. Basically, our version of the bill is identical to the Senate version with some additions. Tam Cook has done some research and came up with other statutes that required reporting to the legislature. So we pushed those dates up. For instance, our Section 1 would require the public safety to supply their report on activities of narcotic drugs and alcohol enforcement on the first day of the regular session versus 30 days from the date that the legislature convened. So we're just moving that date up. Section 2 requires public safety to, again, provide a report on repeated sexual abuse and criminal exploitation of children on the first day of the regular session in an odd-numbered year. Again, just moving that up from 30 days after convening. Our Section 3 is your Section 1. It just says that the term of each member begins on the second Monday of February. And then Section 4 is the same as your Section 2, which just says the legislature shall convene on the second Monday in February. Our Section 5 is your Section 3. And what this does is it expands.
Neva, can I stop you for 1 minute?
Sure.
You do specify 1 p.m.?
Yes, we do.
As opposed to 10 a.m.? Is there a significance?
We say 1 p.m.
And why?
Basically, we got this idea from Representative Wilson, who came from another legislature, I believe in South Carolina, where they have session at 1. That gives everybody time to get into town if the plane is late, et cetera. And in Juneau, that happens a lot.
Okay.
Section 5 of our bill is your Section 3. And what this does is it allows both houses to adopt uniform rules of procedure in both years of a session. And I think that's can already be practiced right now under existing statute, but just clarifies it. Our Section 6 is your Section 4. It just requires fiscal notes to be produced when requested by a committee within 3 days versus the old language. Section 7 is your Section 5, and it addresses pre-filing of bills and resolutions. Our Section 8 is something new. It's not in your version. This, again, is something we found with other legislatures, carrying bills over. If a bill is introduced in the first session and does not pass the House of Introduction, it dies. It comes off the table. Section 9, basically.
Yes, Senator French.
Could we just pause on that for a second,
sure,
please? The way it stands right now, just so everyone that's listening or watching knows, the way it stands right now is that bills essentially just stay where they are,
right,
from one session to the next.
Correct.
And if under this proposal, you'd have to get it all the way through the House that it was introduced in
correct,
order for it to stay alive.
That's correct.
And how many bills do you think would die each year because of this provision?
I have no idea. I haven't had a chance to research it yet.
Okay.
In fact, I just got this about 6 o'clock last night.
And just a follow-up, if I could.
Yes.
it's particularly in the first year, you have all session long to introduce a bill. I'm, for example, working on a bill that would, you know, revise health care dramatically. Because we're a citizen legislature and because we don't get down here into work until January, it's taken me a couple of months to get this big bill written and introduced. If I wanted to be considered over the interim, which is maybe the time that we do more work, I've got to introduce it this year in order for me to even have any hope of it getting passed next year. But under this proposal, if I introduced it, it would die at the end of the session. And then I would be sort of peddling a piece of a dead bill rather than a live bill over the summer.
So through, through the chair, Senator, that this definitely is a policy call, something that's going to have to be discussed. I think if this is adopted, what you'll see is more interim work on legislation. I'm talking about you, for instance. Before you come down here on the first day of the first session, you'll have your bills prepared to introduce, especially ones with big policy calls like you're speaking of as far as Medicare or Medicaid and medical costs. So it's definitely a policy call. This may be amended, it may be eliminated, but it's just one way to try to decrease the number of bills that the legislature has to deal with.
And Madam Chair, if I could just follow up.
Senator
and
French?
I don't mean to stop us on this, but this strikes me as being one of the more important provisions, so I wanted to flag it early in the debate. I think it's going to be the subject of a lot of debate. I feel like that the shorter you make the session, the more opportunity you have to work on bills in the interim, and the shorter you make the session, the more you have to be able to consider those ideas over the summer and during the time that we're not in session. So it seems like you're almost going the wrong way here, that you need to keep bills alive longer instead of keeping them alive less long.
That'll be a debate.
Thank you, Madam.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just trying to get back to the issue here, and the issue is, how do we rip 30 days out of the session? How do we take a 120-day session and remove 25% of the days and still hope to get the job done? And I appreciate what you're saying, Randy, and I glanced through, not a great deal, but glanced through the House plan. I've looked through the Senate plan, and I just don't see the specifics that will cause us to lose a quarter of the time we're here and still get the job done. And in fact, I think, as you were saying it, I talking about Section 8, I really agree with Senator French that that what we should be doing is finding a way to move bills in the interim, not kill them in the first year, but find ways to move them from committee to committee in the interim. You know, I mean, that's what I'll be asking throughout this is how does this take us to a 90-day session?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, this is one half of what the legislature is going to have to deal with. You're going to have to look at uniform rules. And you're going to have to look at attendance. You're going to have to look at weekends. Are you going to let legislators go home on weekends? Or are you going to make them stay here a complete 90 days and do 90 days worth of work?
Well, we do let state employees go home on weekends, don't we? I mean,
that's a policy call. That's the discussion you guys are going to have amongst yourselves. But the second half of this is going to be legislation to address uniform rules. You have to have both in order to have the tools for a 90-day session.
And then I'd put one thing on the record myself. I was just trying to think back over the last 7 years. Sometimes I will make a decision in kind of, I think, of the docket of the bills that I agree to take on and introduce, and they're made up of a variety of constituencies. And sometimes I will bifurcate them, and I'll simply decide that one bill rises to a level, whether it's a sunset date or something like that, to a higher level, and I'll prioritize them. And my staff knows this. In some cases, I'll say this is a second year bill, knowing that after sine die, they die, but that it's simply a way of allocating my time. But the issue's out there, so I can begin those dialogues legitimately with the constituency groups and members to see where the problem areas might arise. And then, as Senator French said, during the interim, I'll do some work on that and come back and then try to bring that bill to fruition in the second year. So it's just something to think about. Every member manages their own sort of docket of bills differently, but it's just one thing to think about. You're just here to, you're not here to argue a position. Rather, I asked you simply, and I don't mean for you to feel that way, you're simply here to present the changes, because I think it's important as we go through the process that the Senate understands what the House is doing as well.
Sure. And if, Madam Chair, if you read Section 8, I don't know if you have the bill in front of you.
Yes, we do.
But it just says that bills introduced in the first session, it does not say you can't introduce bills in the second session.
Senator Stevens?
I'm not picking on Reneva because I know her well.
None of us would pick on Reneva.
I guess what I'm afraid of, that we are just sort of setting ourselves up to fail. We're not addressing the real issues. The real issue seemed to me, how do we rip 30 days out of the session? How do we, now can we say, like some states do, okay, Senator McGuire, you can introduce 5 bills and that's it. No more bills than 5. Bills can move between committees in the interim. Representative Roper's idea of being able to vote when you're not really there and attend via audio conference. I mean, those are the things we should be talking about. And we're just talking about window dressing here and not getting down to the real issue, which if we don't address the real issue, we're going to just have a terrible failure next year.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, we are working on that. That is dealt with uniform rules, and we will be coming forward with legislation to address that.
Thank you.
And the hope, too, by the way, and the reason that I wanted Reneva to come today, again, this is the unusual thing about having a House member come over to the Senate. It's a different way of thinking about things. Gary did it, too, is that oftentimes we do work really hard on both bodies, but we don't track one another's movement. And it does end up being a waste of time, because at the end of the day, I think it's important we know. So the work that's going on the part of the rules chairman in the other body is important. And the work that's going on here in the Senate State Affairs Committee is important. So to the extent that we can align those interests, we may end up having a disagreement, a difference of opinion at the end of the day, but it's a good starting point. So Sure. Let's get to Section 9.
Section 9, Madam Chair, is cleanup language. This statute has been on the books for a few years, and we just want to make it perfectly clear in a very short sentence that employees of the legislature cannot be awarded bonuses. Section 10, this is, again, another deadline that we have cut the days, because we're cutting the days of session. It just says that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee will be organized in 10 days. That cuts 5 days off of their existing deadline. Section 11 is your Section 6. Section 12, again, the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee will file its copies of approved audits on or before the first day of regular session instead of within 5 days.
Yep.
Section 13 is your Section 7, and it requires APOC to publish a directory of registered lobbyists within 15 days of convening versus 45 days. Section 14 actually eliminates one report that APOC requires, and the logic behind this is that February 10th, when you're convening in January, might be significant, but it's quite possible that you're going to be convening on February 10th, and it's just one way to cut down one report. Now, you may want to amend this so that a report is due the first part of March.
Okay.
Section 15 is not in your version. Where is it?
Did you skip over 15? Let's see here.
That's what I'm looking at right now is 15. That should be in your version, but let me double check.
In the budget for the senior intern.
No, it's not.
December. Yeah, we have. No, it's not. We discussed this.
Okay, it's coming to me now. This came after some discussions at your last committee
yes.
meeting, and it's just to plant the idea on a piece of paper. It just would give the governor 1 month longer to present the budget. Section 16 provides that Ledge Finance gets an advanced copy of the governor's budget workbooks the first Monday in February versus the first Monday in January. Section 17 is your Section 8, which changes the deadlines for the supplemental appropriations request and for the governor's budget amendments. Section 18, this requires OMB to submit a report to legislative budget and audit in 5 days versus 30 days after convening. The report has the status of fee regulations and makes recommendations for changes in regulations or statutes. Section 19 is a report by DNR that right now is due on within 30 days. This gives them 5 days. Again, these are just I would call them accounting changes so that we don't sit here for 30 days considering the fact that we're coming in 30 days late, so it just speeds up the process. Section 21 is your Section 9, and the rest of the bill is identical to the Senate version.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Reneva, I appreciate it. Okay, conversations will continue. Okay, next we have Jerry Burnett here with the Department of Revenue. And Mr. Burnett, did you follow our hearing on Tuesday? Or have you been briefed on it? The subject of discussion generally centered around the spring forecast and how that might impact decision making if a 90-day session were imposed.
For the record, my name is Jerry Burnett. I'm the Ledge Liaison and Admin Services Director for the Department of Revenue. I do understand what the issue is here, and just so I could describe the current process of how we do revenue forecasting. Each year we do two formal revenue forecasts, one in the late fall and one in the spring. In fact, on Tuesday this week, our economists got together and are projecting the price of oil for the rest of the next several years, and the forecast will come out toward the end of March in a formal. We do two actual formal reports. With the session being shorter, and if it is moved up, it depends on the start date. If the governor's budget is not due to the legislature until January 15th, as in the proposed House bill, for example, we would be doing a forecast later in the year for that. And more likely what we would do is one formal forecast, which would be preceding the release of the governor's budget, and then an informal price forecast during the session. So I talked to our chief economist yesterday about the accuracy of moving a month closer to the end of the year or farther back in the year. And other than events such as the Prudhoe Bay shutdown last year or the North Star shutdown, which right now is going on, it shouldn't make any real difference in the accuracy of our forecasts. We already have seasonality built into our forecasts, and so we predicted the change in prices correctly this year in the directions, and usually do on a seasonal basis. So we don't believe that it would make a huge difference in the accuracy.
Senator French.
If I can just follow up on that, because that's been the subject of some conversation among members and the public. I guess the question in a lot of folks' minds is there something sort of structurally fixed about the timing of that forecast? Mm-hmm. You know, are you relying on, you know, other entities, other international bodies that report oil prices and so forth that only can be done at that certain time in the year, or can it be done earlier?
And it sounds like you've just said yes, but I guess I just needed to say it
again. Okay, to make that very clear, we don't, talking to Dr. Michael Williams about this yesterday, and I've been participating in these for the last several years myself, and no, there is not some specific event that occurs on a time basis that matters. And so we can change it around to a different time of year without changing the accuracy of the forecast.
Thank you.
Follow-up, Senator Bundy?
No, thank you.
Okay, anything further for Mr. Burnett? Thank you very much. Okay, Clark and Wynn, together.
Together?
Yeah, why not?
To do it.
Your twin brothers. Might as well.
I'm Wynn Greening. I'm the current chair of the Alaska Committee. Here in Juneau, I think you're probably aware the Alaska Committee is a nonprofit volunteer organization in Juneau that is dedicated to enhancing and improving Juneau's Alaska's capital. I think you probably heard from Pam in the last your last hearing about some of the things she's done in terms of housing, so forth, for legislators during the session. And I know we have worked very closely with her over the past number of years in terms of assisting her on that, especially when it comes to special needs and special requests from legislators. We've attempted to accommodate those whenever we can. And also when the legislature is met in times other than the regular session and special sessions later. And I don't see that changing. I think our partnership has worked well in the past. We'll continue to do that regardless of the length of the session. And I don't see that, depending on when the session begins and ends, I don't see that the housing situation in Juneau would necessarily be impacted negatively or positively, either way, based on the length of the 90-day session. Clark, did you have anything to add to that?
For the record, I'm Clark Greening. I'm Wynn's brother. I'm also on the Alaska Committee, but lobby for the City and Borough of Juneau. The city has, over the years, and particularly recently, taken seriously the housing shortage and affordability here, and through investments in water and sewer, looking at releasing land that's held by the city, hope to start to address this long-term problem. But on a more specific level, this city would be eager to help the legislature any way it can and to make sure that your needs are met, whether it's over the current 120 days or a 90-day session. And certainly within that 120-day period, whether it started earlier or later, I don't think it would make any difference in terms of the availability. There could be an argument. It's something that I would like to explore with some of the people that deal more closely with real estate here as to whether it actually may increase the availability, knowing that that 90-day period may be a period that less impacts the landlord's ability to rent to the tourism industry. So
right.
that's a possibility that so. At this point, I can't assume that it will be more difficult, and hopefully it will be better as the city works through some of the larger issues, and we try to accommodate you in any way we can.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Having been here some time, I remember when you had a 1% vacancy rate, and that the day after session was over, people were asked to vacate because tourism people were coming in. With that and I know things have changed now for the better. With that in mind, would the possibility that we'd be better served if we started at the traditional time in January and finished earlier, because in the event of special sessions is where people often end up living in their offices because there isn't a place to rent because of the influx of tourism related employees. Is that possible that we'd be better served start if we're going to cut out the last 30 days so that there isn't such a close overlap with the influx of people employed in the tourism industry?
I think that is possible, but I don't think maybe the entire 30 days would be necessary. One suggestion might be that you start 15 days later and end 15 days sooner. That maybe gives you some of the benefits of starting later, which I've heard are there are some advocates of that. So maybe
you never
halfway
know,
approach
could have a blizzard.
maybe the halfway approach would be something to be considered as well.
Yeah. I was just going to add for the people on Gavel to Gavel, they are forecasting a blizzard in Juneau today for the first time in history. So,
Senator French?
What were all those other things?
That was just bad weather.
All the other days you spent in Sitka.
My question is about the cruise ship industry season creep, if you will. It seems like in the last few years we've seen ships earlier and earlier and later and later. What are the city fathers, if you will, consider the cruise ship season to be now, and what's the future of the cruise ship season?
Well, I think there has been a little bit of a creep, but I think generally May 15th is the day that most people consider the real season start. There are a few very small ships that arrive and maybe one or two other ships that arrive earlier than that, but traditionally the season doesn't get started till the middle of May.
And when do the t-shirt shops and the jewelry shops and those shops open typically?
They're getting ready, you know, that beginning of May period.
Okay. And no forecast, no expected change. We don't think we're going to suddenly get April cruise ships in Alaska.
I haven't heard that because now we're rubbing up against the other seasons. I mean, we've come to the point where
the Caribbean seasons, yes, and the Mexico seasons.
Right.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Senator Stevens.
Well, I guess my experience has been living in an apartment during session and then special sessions staying in a hotel. And though I appreciate people living in the office, that's pretty smart. And I'm concerned about hotel space. I mean, we're going to try and accomplish what the public wants, which is to go to a 90-day session, but it could very well mean that means more special sessions if the governor decides we haven't finished our business and wants us to come back to do other things. So the end result may be, more special sessions, which means more times and more people living in hotels. Could you give us an idea of the hotel situation in town? Is there any possibility of increased numbers of rooms? Do we know any forecast what may happen in the future?
I'm not sure I can give you a definitive answer. I know that the hotel room inventory has increased. There have been several expansions. But clearly it's going to be to your advantage to meet after the tourism season for special sessions, regardless of the hotel situation in Juneau.
Which would end approximately, you say so, mid-May,
middle of September.
Beginning mid-September.
Mm-hmm. Further questions? Okay, thank you both for coming. Okay, Pam, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Gary. Thank you. For the record, my name is Pam Varney. I'm Executive Director of the Legislative Affairs Agency. I was asked at the Tuesday meeting to give some more information regarding other states that accomplished their legislative duties within regular sessions lasting no more than 90 days. And thanks to good staff work by Patricia Young, our manager of research services, I do have a 21-page report. Seven of it is really the research, and then there are attachments that gives some examples from different states as to their timetables and process and calendars and information. And I'll just give you a brief executive summary of it. There are 19 states that hold regular legislative sessions of no more than 90 days. Legislatures in three of those states meet biennially, and in 16 they meet annually. Among those 16, seven states count by calendar rather than legislative days. We surveyed six of the seven states with regular sessions of 90 or fewer calendar days. We also looked at the practices of five states with sessions of 60 or fewer legislative days. Differences in constitutional and statutory schemes and wide variation in the details of the legislative process make direct comparisons problematic. Nevertheless, extensive pre-filing of bills, substantial committee work during the interim, and strict procedural deadlines appear to be common elements in very short sessions. Regardless of the session length, sources report intensive activity and long days, nights, and weekends near the end of the process. Sources in two of the calendar day states noted extensive use of the parliamentary practice of recessing rather than adjourning in order to save or adjust legislative days. And I'll just kind of recap the states that we did survey. Florida, they have 60 calendar days, substantial committee work during the interim, significant pre-filing system with no filing after the start of session, and some limitation on bills. One of the bullets talks about how House members are limited to introducing no more than 6 individual general bills. Senate members are not limited, and bills do not carry over from one session of a legislature to the next. In Maryland, they have 90 calendar days, strict procedural deadlines, committee work during the interim, and liberal use of both legislative days and calendar days. In New Mexico, they have 60 calendar days in odd number years, 30 calendar days in even numbered years, strict deadlines for introduction of bills, some joint committee work during the interim, limitation on bills for consideration during 30-day session, and shifting of legislative days. In Utah, they have 45 calendar days, substantial joint committee work during the interim, and an early deadline for introduction of bills. In Virginia, 30 calendar days in odd number years, 60 calendar days in even numbered years, intense evening and weekend work, committees meeting in interim, staff work year-round, unlimited bill introduction prior to the start of session, and limited bill introduction after the start of session. And West Virginia, 60 calendar days, weekend and evening work in final weeks of session, frequent special sessions, and substantial committee work during the interim. And then it goes on for the next several pages to talk about those states that have legislative day states, and that information is provided to you with a lot of this other research that you can read at your leisure.
Madam.
Pam, thank you for this, by the way. This is great. Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you for the prompt work. I really appreciate it. It bears out my suspicion that by using legislative days, the shortening of the session can be more an illusion than a reality in some states. But I do have a question here that popped out at me. In Georgia, the legislature meets for 40 days and 100 nights. Now, I know they might do math differently in Georgia than I do, but do you know what that means?
No, I read that also, and it seemed quite odd to me. So I'll have to talk to someone in Georgia and find out what that means.
Raising suspicion that the public thinks we do most of our work in the dark of night. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Bunny. Any other comments from members of the committee? So we'll add this. Thank you so much for getting right back to us.
Yeah.
Okay, and Tam Cook is on the line. Tam, you had prepared for us, you had prepared for the rules chairman of the other body, a list of the places where statutory changes would be required in rules. Did you have any comments that you wanted to make?
Madam Chair, what I did was search for other areas where there seemed to be deadlines that applied to reports that had to be delivered to the legislature. I'm not sure that all of those deadlines need to be changed particularly. I just noted them in case individuals who are concerned with this issue wanted to take a look at some of those other deadlines. And as Reneva testified, the House elected to do a few more changes.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you. Tam, is it by legislative rule or by law that committee action moving one bill from one committee to another cannot take place outside of Juneau?
Essentially, it's by rule because there's no mechanism to see, actually, conceptually, it's hard to understand how a committee can move a bill from one committee to another without reading it across, because it requires the full body to accept a committee report. They don't have to accept it, for example. What happens is a committee reports its recommendations to the full body. What you're talking about, I think, is cutting out that section where the body accepts a committee report, then again makes the decision to move it on to the next committee of referral. At that point, they could change committee referrals, for example, or they could decide that the committee report is somehow defective and they want to return it to the first committee. So that process is really inherent in the uniform rules.
Thank you. If I might, just again for gavel people, what we do now is a bill passes from State Affairs Committee, it goes back to the full Senate floor where it's read across, and often it is simply then just moved to the next committee, but occasionally it will pick up another committee referral because something has occurred that we weren't aware of initially. Though I don't ever remember something being sent back to its original committee because the full body felt that the work was not sufficient. So it is, in the main, just a procedure, but occasionally it does have a substantial reason for that being read across for the in front of the whole body. Is my observation accurate, Pam?
Through the chair, if I may, I think your observation is accurate. For the most part, and I mean just about exclusively, there is no objection to a committee report when it is presented to the body. However, bear in mind that as a parliamentary rule, the opportunity to object is lost once the process moves past the parliamentary point in time where the defect is noted. So if it is decided that the legislature is going to cut out the step of a committee reporting to the full body before it goes on, then a decision will have also been made to eliminate the opportunity of a member to object to that report.
Yes, I understand we'd be giving up some of our internal checks and balances, which leads to my previous observation that the legislative process is just as inefficient as it's designed to be, in that provides lots of opportunity for checks and balance. Okay, thank you.
Senator French.
To follow up on that point, I think this is a really important point, and so I'm glad we're talking about it. I guess what maybe I didn't quite get from you, Tam, or else I missed it, but my question is this: what changes do we need to make to the rules as they stand now in order to do two things? One, consider bills during the interim, and perhaps more importantly, move a bill from one committee to another during the interim.
Through the chair, if I may, Senator French, right now you don't need to make any changes to the uniform rules with respect to enabling committees to consider legislation that has been referred to them during the interim. All committees have that authority under the uniform rules, including special committees right now. With respect to your second point, there would be some changes necessary to enable a committee of referral to somehow or rather pass the bill on to a second committee of referral without the intervening step of reporting the measure back to the body. And, you know, that's probably not difficult to draft. It would affect a couple of the rules. And, of course, an amendment to the uniform rules is a bit awkward in that requires two-thirds vote of each of the houses. But certainly we could look at that prospect. I'd be glad to work up language for you and try to get that on paper ready to go even this session for application next session, I would presume.
It strikes me that we should at least have something ready for that. If, you know, we've been given a command to go to a 90-day session next year. Senator Stevens has been adamant that we need to begin to think about the actual ways we accomplish that, and it strikes me that you have to make room for committee work outside the regular session. And so this is important to me. If you draft something up, I'd be very eager to take a look at it.
Madam Chairman.
Yes, Senator Bundy.
And that brings us to a question that I think we haven't wrestled with yet, is are we talking about legislative days versus session days? In other words, if we limit the session, as we will, to 90 days, and then your committee meets for 10 days during the interim, are we meeting for 100 days or are we meeting for 90 days?
Right. What is a legislative session?
That's exactly right.
That's interesting.
Senator Bundy.
When it's appropriate, I wanted to give you a report from my district on this issue.
Please do.
Oh, well, if we're, I don't it's know, a, if interview.
It's, we're actually, we have one other individual. Actually, perhaps I should take that individual's testimony, one from the public, Diane Holmes, and then we'll go ahead and have the report.
Speaking of my district.
Diane Holmes.
Yes. Actually, I would defer to Senator Bundy. I want to hear what he says first, and then I would like to reply.
Okay. Senator Bundy.
All right. Thank you. Well, Madam Chair, I, as you think you know, I take the definition of my job as representative rather literally. So yesterday I sent out an email update to a number of people in my district that are that I normally contact, asking five questions about the 90-day session. Now, I also looked at the vote in my district, and one district, District 31, passed this initiative by about under 300 votes, said yes. The other district that Ms. Holmes lives in failed the initiative by five or six votes. So clearly not a mandate one way or another in my district. But these are the questions I ask, with your indulgence. And I'd just like to share just a few responses, I think, that are I've had 80 replies since yesterday, and these are just, I think, an example of the variety of replies I've had. The questions I ask, a generic question, what does the public think that the public had in mind when they voted on this? And the questions were, one, that all business should be completed in 90 days. To accomplish that, should the legislators be limited to the number of bills they can introduce? Three, should we limit the number of hearings a bill receives? Four, should we allow committees to do legislative work and pass bills when the legislature is not in regular session? And five, current notice of hearings on a bill must be posted by Thursday the preceding week. Should this time be reduced, like the 24-hour rule that we have at the end of session? And if I could, just a couple of replies that are a good illustration. One person said, yes, all work should be done in 90 days. No, they shouldn't limit the number of bills. No, we shouldn't limit the number of hearings. Yes, we should have hearings and pass bills out of committee in caps, all bold. Communities where you have a better chance of participating, where the citizens have a better chance of participating. And five, that no, there shouldn't be any limitation of notice on these hearings. I did have a sixth question, and does this affect special sessions too? And this person said no. This person said, first off, I voted against shortening the legislative session. Its passage reflects a general dissatisfaction with the legislature's performance as a body. They think that, yes, all business should be completed. No, there should be no limit on the number of bills. There should be no limit on the number of hearings. We should do legislative work outside the 90-day session as long as it's on public record. Hearing notices should be reduced 25% by or proportional to the amount we reduce session, and no limitation on special session. This person said, all around bad idea. I doubt most voters really thought it through. I would assume they thought that government and the government process are wasteful and you cut them back and become more efficient. The issue is the legislature needs to deal with issues that the legislature needs to deal with are complex, need careful consideration, and require opportunity for input. A shorter session does not help these needs. Bad legislation that gets done quickly helps no one. This person said, I think the people wish to limit legislative business conducted in Juneau to 90 days. Unfortunately, I think this was about time, but the message about resentment of the lobbying power in our remote capital, time away from your constituents, and a lack of respect for the value of the product seems to be coming out of Juneau. I do not think the public had any idea of the internal process or the value of the process in the legislature. If the legislature has to change the internal process to comply with the vote, do it. I think the people are rejecting the value of more time in Juneau, political influence, and government from afar. I know you guys are loving this.
It's good.
All right. Just a couple more. This online survey is a bunch of crap. The average person knows that the legislature hides in Juneau. I've been there. I've seen it. Access to the legislature must be readily available. Anchorage is the major hub of all Alaska. Then the people would have ready access. Move the legislature. Two more. I doubt the voters imposed 90-day limit just so you could use special sessions to ignore the mandate. The expectation is to complete work in 90 days. Absolutely want to limit the number of bills introduced. How many new laws do you honestly, in caps, believe are necessary? Legislators introduce too many stupid bills that clog the system. Legislators that introduce too many stupid bills should be replaced. I'd vote for that. A good bill can always find a sponsor. Yes, we want to limit the number of hearings. A 24-hour notice should not be decreased, and they finish with appreciate the opportunity to submit feedback. Does anyone read this? Yes. And the last one, in my opinion, 90 days mean 90 days. If the public wants all the work done in 90 days, it means a bit less time for their input, then so be it. I would personally like to see the legislature meet every 2 years.
The game.
As often is the case, Alaskan voters have many opinions and are willing to share them. I appreciate the fact they're sharing them, and we will have to craft something that is going to meet that interesting combination of opinions.
Senator Bundy, would you be willing to make those a part of just our packets?
I've told people on Legislative Update that this is a personal conversation
with me.
If I can, without overloading...
Could you summarize them without names?
Their names.
That's the idea I was thinking of.
Already sent things to, and I apologize to Shalon.
Oh, it's okay.
Because I mentioned that
job.
The hearing was today, and some people have sent information directly to Shalon. But we can go through and redact the names, I guess, and take me a little while because... They're still coming in.
That's okay. If you'd be willing, I think it'd be interesting to compile a conglomeration of all of those comments, redacting the names and personal information, just to see the gamut of responses.
Well, remember, my district were pretty evenly split on this. Those of you that maybe might want to check how the vote went in your district and plumb the wisdom of your folks as well.
My hunch is that they'll be similar. There'll be a lot of similarities. Diane, you wanted to wait until Senator Bundy's comments.
Yes. Well, with all due respect to the survey that came out yesterday, the voters did decide, and it only takes one vote to elect any of you or to pass this, and it was passed. And I have heard some good discussion as I've been listening in the last over half an hour, 40 minutes. And there are some issues that need to be dealt with. But the fact is, a lot of other states deal with their business in 90 days. I like the idea of not having any more bills be introduced after the session starts, which, of course, can and should start later, so you can deal with your revenue projections that you need to make your budget up. But the fact is, as far as people saying that there won't be enough public process, that's really not true, because with fewer bills introduced, maybe you can spend more quality time on them. And the fact is, you don't really, people don't even know what's in the budget. It gets passed really quickly at the very end anyway, and that's not going to change. But I don't think the public was well informed when this came before them, because I read in the election pamphlet what was said on the pro and con side, and it was very, very poorly written. But the point is, the vote is there, and I think you can deal with it very well. I don't think people know about some of the issues on committees and whatnot, but certainly I think you probably can have committee meetings, and I don't understand the ramifications, but with public notice, perhaps to move things out of committee, that can be done. As far as special sessions, those are entirely different than getting your work done. Those are for specific projects, usually in conflict with what the governor wants, as the past as you found out with the past administration. Getting your work done, you can extend the session a day or two if you really have to. And I think that from what other states have done, such as limiting the number of bills, not so much limiting them, but have none introduced after the session starts, is a very valuable thing to follow for a while anyway to see how it works. Because, you know, let's be honest, there's a lot of stuff that comes through there that doesn't need to come through there, and it will help you prioritize and see what really is important. I mean, all across Alaska, we're being asked to do more with less. And the governor wants to cut, $120 million from capital projects, or in general, I'm really not sure what. if we have to live with less services, and we have a lot of needs in this state, then I think that the legislature should make a real effort to also streamline their activities. And I respect the people that who actually proposed this, Gretchen Guess, and I don't think she did this without thinking. She knows what goes on there. I've never been there, but I've been told. So I think that things could be done differently. And what about swearing in the new legislators in December with the governor, so that those people can, you know, get themselves established, and they won't be floundering at the very beginning of the session.
Thank you very much, Diane. Okay, Senate State Affairs is adjourned.